23,
回到路加23章。
So the charge of blasphemy won't give the verdict that the high priest won.
所以这个亵渎神的这个罪名啊，不能给到大祭司以证据来控告耶稣。
So what they did is they began to accuse the Lord Jesus in verse 2.Accuse him of, it says, subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be a king.
所以这就是为什么二十三章啊，路加福音二十三章二节，他说，他就告他说，我们看见这人诱惑国民，禁止纳税给凯撒，因为他们的人不，罗马人不会因为亵渎神来定耶稣的罪。
Of course, those charges are false. He did not say not to give taxes to Caesar. He said, render to Caesar the things that belong to him, and the things that belong to God, render to God.
所以这个其实比拉多知道这个控告是不实的，因为耶稣并没有禁止人给凯撒纳税，他只是说了一句很著名的话，他说，凯撒的归凯撒，上帝的归上帝。
Now,Pilate knew that the Lord Jesus was not trying to subvert the nation. He was not trying to overthrow Caesar's authority.
因为比拉多这时候也知道，耶稣并不是来要推翻凯撒的统治的，来威胁凯撒的统治。
And in verse 3, he says, he asked Jesus directly, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied.
所以第三节说呢，比拉多问耶稣说，你是犹太人的王吗？耶稣回答说，你说的是。
We looked in John's gospel where we had the fuller account of his trial there before Pilate.
我们读过约翰福音，我们就看见整个他面对比拉多所受审判的那个情形。
Remember, he said, my kingdom is not of this world.
你要记得他说过，我的国度不是在这个地上的。
But Luke's purpose here is not to go in depth on the trial.
所以，路加所记载的角度并不是想很深的来看，这个审判的过程。
And so he passes over the account that's already been given in the book of John.
所以他把那个在约翰福音里面讲到的比拉多和耶稣的对话那个细节就跳过去了。
Instead, in what we get in the Gospel of Luke, is that Pilate is declares Jesus three times as innocent.
但是呢，我们在路加里面看见另外一个他提出来的重点就是，比拉多三次强调说他看不出、找不出耶稣有什么罪来。
In verse 4, Pilate then announced to the chief priests in the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man."
第四节，比拉多对祭司长和众人说呢，我查不出这人有什么罪来。
Now, normally that would be case closed.
正常呢，这个审案就到此就结束了，因为你查不出他罪了，就应该结案了。
The man who was accused would go free.
被控告的人就应该无罪释放了。
And then the court would be dissolved.
这个法庭就应该这时候就应该停止解散了。
And everybody could go home for lunch.
每个人可以回家吃中饭。
But what it says, they insisted.He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and he's come all the way here.
但他们越发极力地说，他煽惑百姓在犹太遍地传道，传道，从加利利起直到这里。
The chief priests were not satisfied with that verdict.
因为大祭司对这个比拉多的这个宣判不是太满意。
Pilate as the judge had pronounced the innocent. That should have been the end of it. But these people, they were insisting that he was trying to overthrow the Romans, and yet It's so crazy that they won't agree. They're trying to overthrow the judge, the judge's judgment. It's crazy.
所以这些很疯狂，因为他们当听见这个比拉多这么定罪来呢，他们反复的说他想煽惑百姓在犹太遍地传道，因为他们想推翻比拉多的这个审判，因为他们认为就他们想用这个来定耶稣的罪。
Now the reason why Pilate was in Jerusalem on this particular day because was there's a reason for that.
比拉多在那个时候特别那一天在耶路撒冷是有些原因的。
He normally as governor of Judea, his palace was in Caesarea on the coast of the Mediterranean in a Roman fort.
他是比拉多在当时是犹大全地的总督，代表罗马皇帝的。所以他的宫殿呢，就他的住处呢，是在凯撒利亚，是一个沿海地中海的沿海城市。
But when there was a big feast in Jerusalem and you had maybe a million pilgrims, all coming into one place, there was a security problem there.
所以当你面对一个情形呢，就当时是犹太人的逾越节，全地的犹太人，甚至可能上百万的犹太人。都聚集到了一个地方，作为一个地方官来说，他就会担心有什么，有安全问题。
And different people had led rebellions against the Romans. A lot of Jews rebelled against the Romans.
因为他也知道，很多的犹太人呢，他是特别想反对罗马的殖民统治的，所以，在这样的人群聚集的时候，他就怕有煽动去造反的这个危险。
And so Pilate would come up.From the coast to stay in Jerusalem during this time to make sure that there was no problems.
所以比拉多就会从他沿海的那个城堡里出来，进到耶路撒冷啊，耶路撒冷是内地的山城，然后进到那里来确保在整个逾越节的期间，这个地方是安全的。
And for the same reason, there was King Herod, who's normally he was at Tiberias.His palace was at Tiberias on the Lake Sea of Galilee. That's where his palace was because he was king of Galilee area, and he also came down to Jerusalem to make sure that the Galileans didn't cause any problems.
所以同样的理由，希律王是分封在哪里的？罗马人分封在加利利，就是整个犹大地的北边的一个地方的一个王，那他也因为同样的原因进到了耶路撒冷，来确保他那个地方的犹太人没有在耶路撒冷去造反。
And so that's why both Pilate and Herod were in Jerusalem at this time.
这就是为什么在那个时候出现个奇有意思的情形，就是比拉多总督和希律王都同一时间在耶路撒冷。
When Pilate learned that Jesus was from Galilee, he was born in Galilee, in Nazareth, which was a town in Galilee. When he learned that Jesus was from Galilee, he thought, these Jews that are, they're not listening to me, they're not accepting my judgment. If he's a Galilean, I'll send him to Herod.
所以这就是为什么比拉多他一听见这些人他不肯听他的审判，这些人不在那嚷嚷嘛，说你这个不行，你一定还得定他的罪。这时候呢，他也听说他就是加利利人，因为耶稣是生虽然是生在伯利恒，但是大家都知道他是长在加利利的，所以呢他就想起来了，还有一个加利利的地方官在这里，就是希律，所以他就会想把他送过去。
And so Herod was very gladBecause for a long time he'd wanted to see Jesus.
希律呢，这时候特别高兴，因为他很长久以来就想见耶稣的面了。这如雷贯耳这个名字。
So we read there that verse 8, when Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased.
所 所以第八节就说呢，当希律看见耶稣呢，他就特别 高兴，他很欢喜。
He wanted to see him for a long time, from what he had heard about him, and he hoped to see him some, perform some miracle.
因为他听过耶稣的事情，很早就想见耶稣，并且指望从耶稣那看一件神迹。
For Herod, the Lord Jesus was some like a circus performer.
对于希律来说呢，耶稣基督就像一个马戏团表演的。
You know, that's all he was interested in is entertainment.
这是他唯一感兴趣的，就是娱乐啊，也就表演个神迹就看。
And so he asks, he plied him. It says he asked him many questions. Verse 9.
然后第九节呢，希律就问了耶稣很多的话。
Lord Jesus did not answer him a word.
耶稣却一句都不答。
And all the time, the chief priests, they followed, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they followed Jesus from Pilate's judgment hall to Herod's palace. And they were vehemently, it says, vehemently, which means extremely yelling at him, accusing him loud.
所以祭司长和文士那些宗教阶层呢，也跟随着这个耶稣从比拉多的行宫呢，就去到了那个希律的那个宫殿，然后呢，他们极力的站在希律面前呢，极力的控告他。
And so, the Lord Jesus never answered a word.
但是耶稣从来不回答一句话。
He stood there in all his dignity as the Son of God Himself.
他站在那以一个圣子的尊荣一直站在那。
And he patiently endured the suffering and the mockings that was given to him.
他一直在忍耐，安静的忍耐一切的嘲弄，一切的迫害。
And of course, the chief priests were saying, "He says he's a king. He says he's a king."
然后大祭司就一直的这么说，他说他是王，他说他是王。
So then, in verse 11, we read that Herod and his soldiers. They wanted some entertainment. So what they did is they dressed him up in a very elegant or gorgeous robe, and then they all mocked him and bowed the knee and so on, saying, "Oh, you're a great king, great king." It was just entertainment for Herod and his soldiers.
所以希律和他的兵丁呢，就只知道玩了。他们想本来要的就是娱乐，所以他们就用什么方式来藐视耶稣呢？他们就给他穿上一件特别华丽的衣服，就把他打扮成个王，在他面前拜他，说：“哎，你看，这是王啊，这是王。”戏弄他。
I sometimes wonder, you know, if people mock you and make fun of you, it's almost better if they strike you and hit you physically.
所以我常常会思考这么一个事情，就是如果人嘲弄你、取笑你，甚至还不如他就打你，更好受一点。
You know, because somebody strikes you in anger, it hurts the body. There's pain, but it's all outward pain. When someone mocks you, your very person, they attack you as yourself, and it goes right into your very heart.
就如果一个人打你呢，他打的是你外面，他不管怎么打你，你痛，但是是外面的痛。但如果一个人嘲弄你、取笑你，他直接伤害的是你里面的心啊，他是在你里面攻击你。
And we don't forget that this is very God that's being mocked here.
我们不要忘记一个事实，这是神自己在这里接经历人的嘲弄。
But being God doesn't mean to say that he didn't feel all this.
成为神并不意味着他自己没有感受这一切的痛苦。
He is also a man.
因为他是一个全然的人。
He's the son of Adam.
他是亚当的后裔。
He was born and had feelings the same as you and I.
他是在你和他跟你和我一样，也是有同样的感受。
But he had with this difference.
但是有一样是不同的。
When we get older, we become more defensive. Do we not?
当我们越来越年长的时候呢，我们会变得越来越自保啊，就保护啊，自我保护。对。
See, we put up defenses so that other people don't hurt us with their words or with their what they say or what they do to us.
我们常常做一个举动，就是把我们保护起来，以免其他人的话啊也好，其他人的行为也好，伤害我们。
The Lord Jesus had no defenses.
但是我们的主他没有任何的自我保护。
He put up no defenses whatsoever.
他无论什么样的保护都没有。
He was perfectly sensitive to everyone, little children, and anybody in need. He was perfectly without defenses to defend himself.
他是非常非常的敏感，对一切的人、别人的需要，比如说一个孩子。他这样的敏感却没有任何的自卫、自我保护的东西在里面，他只是纯粹的在乎别人。
You could write down Psalm 22.
你可以把诗篇的二十三篇写下来。
We won't take time maybe to go there, but if you read Psalm 22 sometime,
诗篇二十二篇，帮我写。
You will find there a description by a prophecy by David himself.Of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ.
这是个弥赛亚诗篇啊，他就讲到大卫就借着他上帝给他的话，他就描述了一个受苦的弥赛亚这么一个形象，在诗篇二十二篇。
There was a physical sufferings.
那里有有形的受苦。
They slapped him and they beat him. They put a crown of thorns upon his head.
他们用掌 击打他，用鞭子抽他， 用一个荆棘的冠冕戴在他头上。
He had to carry his cross. It was a great burden.
然后他必须得自己背着那个十字架，是非常重的。
He had to stand for hours while he was being examined by these men.
他要几个小时的站着，一些人要审问他。
And so those were his physical sufferings, but he also had his soul sufferings.
这都是有形的痛苦，但是他依然有他灵里的痛苦。
All this time he's being surrounded just like by dogs barking, yelling at him, insults and injury to him.
所以你可以想想，那个时间就周围就围着像一群狗一样在嚷嚷的这么一群人，然后他们攻击他，侮辱他。
Wicked men making fun of him.
那些邪恶的人取笑他。
Mocking him.
嘲弄他。
But then there was also there would be the spiritual sufferings we'll talk about later.
然后之后还会有一些灵里的苦难，我们还会再谈到。
He suffered when he was forsaken of God because he was made sin for us.
当他在十字架上被父神弃绝的时候，他有巨大的痛苦，因为他站在我们的位置上，为我们的罪真正受了审判。
We'll be talking more about that, but today I want to focus.Mostly on the soul, his soul sufferings.
今天我们会看见，对，我们今天会主要是看他魂里的这个所受的痛苦，不是完全灵里。
Isaiah 53.
以赛亚是五十三篇啊，是个弥赛亚的诗篇，弥赛亚的经文。以赛亚是五十三篇。
Isaiah 53.
以赛亚书五十三篇，对，如果是蓝本这本大的圣经，一千一百九十七页
，verse three，
第三节。
He was despised.
他被藐视。
He was despised and rejected.
被人厌弃。
One of the things I think that hurts us most, that's why family problems can be the most painful.
我们常常会思考我们能够受伤最大的是什么事情呢？我们就会觉得是家庭成员的这个伤害是最大的。
A mother sacrifices everything for her child.
一个妈妈呢，可能会为孩子牺牲一切。
If that child turns away from the mother and is not thankful, there's a deep wound in the mother's heart, isn't it?
如果一个这个孩子呢，就离开了，不听父母的话了，然后就也不感恩，然后这个会给妈妈造成巨大的伤害。
Because love rejected it causes the deepest pain.
然后呢，在爱里的，你付出了爱，然后他完全的拒绝，就会带来很深的伤害。
Or a husband and a wife, maybe there's a breach between them, and one leaves that relationship and rejects the other. There's great pain. Sometimes there's great, great, great pain. The greatest pain is in love rejected.
夫妻之间也是啊，就一个在爱里的关系，如果一方就走了，就拒绝了，那所造成的伤害也是非常非常大的。
When we read that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son,
我们都记得那个约翰福音三章十六节讲，神爱世人啊，甚至将他的独生子赐给他们。
In rejecting God's Son, it pierces God's heart.
所以拒绝神的圣子啊，其实就是直接伤害了神的心。
What more could God do than to give the very best that He has?
神还能做什么呢？他已经把他最好的给了我们。
And so, the Lord Jesus is from God. He is very God Himself, but He came into the world. He loved the world. He gave Himself for mankind.And being rejected here now, we see him surrounded by people who have he's despised and rejected. To be despised after giving everything you have, it can cause the deepest hurt.
所以在被拒绝，在耶稣基督他因着他的爱，他给我们一切，上父神给我们一切了以后，他我们拒绝他，这会给他造成多大的伤害？
There is a story that's told, and it happened in India. The story is called The Pearl of Great Price. Has everybody heard this story? The story of Great Price, the pearl. Who has?
就是有一个有印度来的这个一个故事哈，大家谁听过？就叫做呢。一个像珍珠般的巨大的代价，这个故事的名字，你听过吗？李脸听过。
Yeah. I remember telling it one time in a Bible study. Ajit knows this story well because the story comes from the land of India.
这个肯定比我更熟悉这个故事，因为这是从印度的来的一个故事。
There was a I forget the names. I'd have to read the story again to get the names. But I'll just give you. There was a missionary that went to India.
我忘了一个具体的名字哈，因为我要回到那个故事上我才知道。但这是一个讲的是印度的一个传教士。
And he'd been there for many years.
他会在那待了很多年。
And one man that he made friends with there, a very, very nice old man. The missionary was older as well by this time.And he really liked this old Indian man.
所以他讲，这个传教士在那边待了很久，有他自己年纪也大了，然后他碰到当地一个老人家哈，他非常喜欢这个老人家。
And he'd often visit the Indian gentleman.
他也经常去拜访这个老人家。
And he'd tell him the story of the Bible and the scriptures and point out the Savior.Coming from heaven to die.
然后他也跟这个老人家讲福音，告诉他救主从天上道成肉身来救他这一切的内容。
But this man was a Hindu.
但是呢，他是个印度教，就是个老人家是个印度教的。
And he had his religion. He said, I don't see any value in a God that does that. I should earn my own salvation.
对，所以但他说我看不见有任何的必要，这个上帝要做这个事，他说我需要自己来证我自己的救恩，我要做事情来证我自己的救恩。
Now this old man was a retired pearl diver.
然后呢，这个老人家呢，他是一个采珍珠的啊，他退休了，他之前是个采珍珠的。
And of course, he lived on the coast near the ocean, where he would often, where he had lived, earned his living for many years.
当然，他肯定是住在一个海边城市，他以此为谋生很多年。
And often the missionary and he, they would talk back and forth about salvation, about who God was and how God could save a person just by believing and so on. He said, I can't, the old man could not see how a God could save him just by believing something.
所以当然他们在这交谈当中他也明白了要得救唯一的方法就是靠着信啊。所以这老人家他很难相信这个怎么靠着信他就能够得救啊？他不能理解。
One day he invited the missionary to come to his home. He said, I want to speak to you.
然后有一天他把这个传教士邀请回家啊，他说我要跟你聊一聊。
And so he came into the old man's house and sat down. And the old man reached up onto a shelf and he brought down a small box.
然后这个老人家呢坐下了以后他就从那个厨子的高处呢就拿下一个盒子来。
Setting it down on the table, he lifted the lid off this box.
然后他把那个盒子放在当中打开盖子。
And he took out a pearl.
他拿出一个珍珠。
A perfect pearl, the size that you would not believe. A huge pearl. Perfect.
一个完美的珍珠，你不能想象的一个尺寸的大小，特别大的一个完美的珍珠。
The missionary looked at that, and with amazement that no one had seen a pearl like that.
然后那个传教士就看见这个，哇，太吃惊了，没有人见过这么大的珍珠。
And the old man said, "Sahib, I'm going to be leaving here, and I'm going on a pilgrimage." And where he would travel on his knees around a sacred mountain. You've heard about this, haven't you, in the north? I think seven times there to go around this mountain, seven times. And he had hoped that he would then be able to earn enough that he would then be accepted of the gods.
On his knees?
On his knees, yes.
Oh, okay.所以他要去做一个什么事呢？他说：“我现在要去我们北方的一个圣山呢、啊，我要围着那圣山用跪着走七圈啊，然后来得着这个神他们认为的神的救恩呢。”
And so, he said, "I don't, Sahib, I don't think that I will be coming back."
然后他说呢：“我大概回不来了。”这个补珍珠的人说。
This will probably take my life.
他说我这么就走七圈可能就死了。
The missionary was silent for a moment.
然后这个传教士呢沉默了一阵。
He looked at that pearl and he looked at his friend. He suddenly had an idea. He put his hand in his pocket quickly and he pulled out his wallet. And he began to count money out.And he said, I'll give you, I forget the number, how many rupees for this.
然后他看着这个补珍珠的人呢，他突然把钱包掏出来，这传教士，然后数钱，他说我要付你多少卢比啊。
And the old man said, I've got to just say, the missionary...had asked the old man, where did you get that pearl?
所以在这之前呢这个传教士问过这个老人家你从哪里得到这个珍珠的。
He said, many years ago I had a son, my only son, and he learned pearl diving from me. One dayHe, in a dive, he saw further down than he normally went, a very large oyster.
所以他说他原来有个儿子是个独生子，就是个老人家补珍珠的。他小时候这个孩子小时候呢一直跟他学着去 去 diving， 就是去进到水里下潜去捞那个珍珠。然后他有一次看见比他正常潜的深度还要更远一点的地方，更深一点的地方，有个特别大的牡蛎。
And going down, he thought then he would go down, try to get there. He knew it was dangerous. He went down and he was able to secure that pearl, that huge perfect pearl.
然后呢，他知道这个有危险，但是他还是向下，去取了这个特别大的珍珠，在那个贝壳里。
But when he came, he'd been down too long. He'd lost consciousness and he died.
但是当他回来的时候呢，他因为下潜太深了。所以他就溺水，他就淹死了。
And so when the missionary reached in his hand pocket for his wallet to pull out the money, the old man was horrified.
所以当这个传教士开始数钱要付他钱的时候呢，这个老人家就开始这个是很吃惊啊。
And he said to the missionary, "You can't put a price on this pearl."
对。所以他说你不可能有价格在这个珍珠上是没有价格的。
It represents the life of my son.
这个代表着我儿子的命啊。
You can only take it as a gift.
你只能作为一个礼物接受。
And the missionary said, "Don't you see that's what you've been doing to God's gift?"
Amen. 你没看见，这个传教士就说了问他一句，你没看见这就是神。你对神的，对你对神的这个礼物的态度，就是原来是这样的。
No amount of working for salvation would satisfy God.
因为没有任何的工作，或者没有任何自己的自己做的事情能够来付的代价，能够满足神儿子的付的赎价。
His son offered the perfect salvation.
他的儿子已经给到了我们完美的救赎。
And nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken away.
也没有什么能够再添了，也没有什么能够再拿掉。
And the only way you can take it is a gift.
我们唯一能够做的就是把它真的当作礼物收下。
And the old man that day believed in the Lord Jesus Christ.
然后那个老人家那一天。就终于明白了这个道理，他就。
He didn't take the trip around the mountain.
因为他再也不用再去那个山边去走那个七圈了。
That day he passed from death unto life.
就那一天，他真的就是从出死入生。
And I don't know if you know how a pearl is made, but a pearl is made from a grain of sand that goes into the oyster, and the oyster feels irritated, and it coats the sand.And it coats the sand, and it coats the sand, and it coats the sand, and it becomes a beautiful pearl. And the sufferings that Christ went through, you know, on our behalf, to make us beautiful creatures, new creation in Christ, is the wonderful story of that pearl. The biggest pearl, God gave His all, the most beautiful pearl.But look what Christ had to go through.
所以我们看见呢，我们都知道珍珠在形成的过程当中，就是那沙子要进到那个贝壳里去啊，然后它不停的这个沙子要在里面磨，然后是它因为贝壳就感到很痛苦啊，然后它但在这个过程当中，珍珠它就会越来越好看，越来越好看，一层一层一层一层越来越大，所以我们神。圣子的救恩也是这样，就他在这个过程当中，他经历很多的痛苦，但他做成的这个救恩，是非常非常的美好的。
So that day it says, Herod and Pilate they became friends.
我们回到路加的二十三哈，那一天呢
？Before this they've been enemies.
对。路加二十三章十二节，我们回到那个原文里去。说从前啊，希律和比拉多彼此有仇，在那一天又成了朋友。
And therefore, we read there that Pilate called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man, As one who is inciting the people to rebellion, I've examined in your presence, I find no basis of charges against him, and neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us, as you can see. He has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him. So that's the second pronunciation. How many times does a judge have to pronounce a person innocent?
Once.
It should be only once, shouldn't it?
这是13到16节啊，刚才读了13到16节的部分啊。那这里讲的呢，就是整个情形，就比拉多呢又叫齐了他们来，他们还是要控告耶稣。然后比拉多就说呢，即使是希律也没有查出他有什么罪来，所以他在16节说，他要我责打他，把他释放了。所以我们要听这个审判官多少次证明一个人是没有罪呢？其实一次就够了，但这比拉多已经讲了第二次了。
And so Pilate, he is a wicked, cruel man, but he's very, very weak as well.
所以你会发现呢，比拉多他是一个很邪恶的，而且是很强壮的一个恶人啊。但是你也可以看见他也非常非常的软弱。
He bent, as it were, to the will of the people.
因为他会把自己的意愿去屈服于当时众人们的意愿。
So he had a responsibility to Caesar to uphold Roman law.
因为他的向凯撒负责啊，去维持罗马法律，罗马律。
But he also had a higher responsibility.
但他还有一个更高的职责。
As the representative of the government on earth in that area, he had a responsibility to God in heaven.
作为他当地的一个管制的总督，他还有个职责是面对神的。
Romans chapter 13 verse 1.
我们看一下罗马书的13章1节啊。罗马书十三章一节，284页。
We'll read the first three verses here.
Okay, 我们读一下一节到三节十三章。在上有权柄的，人人当顺服他，因为没有权柄不是出于神的。凡掌权的都是神所命的，所以抗拒掌权的，就是抗拒神的命。抗拒的必自取刑罚。做官的原不是叫行善的惧怕，乃是叫作恶的惧怕。你愿意不惧怕掌权的吗？你只要行善，就可得他的称赞。
So here we see that God has established a government, the authorities.
我们都看见了上帝建立了一个管制啊，一个政府是在地上来管理人的。
So those who rebel against authority are rebelling against God.
那些悖逆地上权柄的，就是悖逆上帝。
On the other hand, if someone has taken the responsibility of government, managing government, they're going to have to answer to God Himself.
换句话说呢，那来管制地上人民的那个政府的头，他也有一个职责是要向上帝负责的。
Now there's two other things that we might take into account here.
有两件事呢，我们可能要从这里要衍生出来。
Although God is over all and has established authority, there is a rebel in the universe named Satan.
虽然神是掌控地上一切的那个权柄啊，但是呢，在地上有一个悖逆的源头是什么？是撒旦。
And Satan, he, as the God of this world, can manipulate the authority and power that has been given by God.To destroy God's people and God's plan.
所以你会看见撒旦，他是世界的王啊，他是这个地上的王，所以他会来引诱或者改变控制这个地上的权柄的，来破坏神的旨意。
And someday Satan is going to be judged for his rebellion.
有一天呢，撒旦会因为他的悖逆呢被审判。
We know the end of Satan. is that he's going to be put in the lake of fire forever.
我们都知道，撒旦会最终会丢到火湖里去。
So right now, though, for a little time, for the purposes of God, Satan is allowed to operate in this sphere of bending, as it were, and thwarting God's purposes.
所以，在一个短的时间里，就是现在撒旦还在地上没有被绑起来的短的时间里，以及这样的安排也是出于神有特别爱的目的的。那撒旦呢，会扭曲，改变神本意在地上要管理的这个本意。
So what we have is if God, who sets all authority, who has set that upon the earth, we have a fallen angel, a rebel, who is twisting that authority to his own ends, selfish ends.
所以上帝立了地上的管制的权柄，但是呢，恶者，邪灵呢？撒旦呢， 他把这个扭曲了，然后让他偏离了神本来要他们做的事情。
And so that Satan doesn't operate directly into this world.
因为撒旦并不是自己先，他是那个权柄，他来管制全地的，不是，这不是事情的本相。
He operates through his slaves, men and women who bow to him.
他是通过什么呢？通过他的奴隶是什么呢？所有地上的人，男人和女人。愿意屈服在他下面的，成为他的，那个奴隶的，那这些人是可以被撒旦所用
的。And so that those that would take up power in this world must be very, very careful.
所以这就意味着地上，接受这个权柄的，来管理全地的这些官长的权柄的，他们要非常的小心和仔细。
How many people that have been corrupted by power in this world?
在地上有多少人是因着权力而经历了腐败？
We have a saying in English, power corrupts, and unlimited power or infinite power corrupts infinitely.
所以我们有一句英语的谚语说，权力会带来腐败啊。然后呢，无限制的权力呢，就会带来无限制的腐败。
Not all leaders are corrupt, but how much corruption is there in this world?
并不是所有的这个官长都是腐败的，但是呢，我们在地上看见真的很多的腐败。
The temptations are so great that most men and women fall prey to it in some way or other.
所以这个诱惑实在是大，所以很多的地上的人就真的是陷进去了。
Because behind the power is Satan himself.
因为在这样的权柄的诱惑下，其实是撒旦在后面做很不好的工作。
Remember when he offered the Lord Jesus power and authority, he said, "All this is mine. The kingdoms of the world."If you bow down and worship me, I'll give it to you.
所以你会记得撒旦在诱惑耶稣的那三次试探里面，他说什么？他指着万国荣华，他跟耶稣说：“你看，这些都是我的，你只要跪拜我，在我面前跪拜，这就都给你。”
As soon as humans get a little bit of power, what happens?
所以当人得到一点权力的时候，会发生什么呢
？They want more power.
他会想更多。
In order to get more power, you have to become more and more corrupt.
所以为了得到更多的权力呢，他很可能会面临更多的腐败。
So what is happening here is we have the authority, the Roman authority has been delegated by God, a kingdom that has been ordained by God, but corrupted by Satan'sBadness, and in a weak man who only wants to hold on to his personal power.
所以你会看见，这次我们看见的一个是什么情形呢？比拉多，一个罗马人，在当地的管制的头，那他按道理应该是神让他在地上代表人的权柄， 来管理大家的，他要对神负责，他应该行公义去审判恶人。但是呢，撒旦借着对他对权力的这个诱惑啊，因为他怕失去权力，所以他的内心，比拉多的内心是如此的脆弱，所以他太想要这个权力了，所以完全就被撒旦所控制，他没有去行本来他应该作为总督该行的公义。
And so what is he is now called upon to judge, to uphold the law that came from God, and to uphold that he's the Pilate is actually standing before God, but he won't pronounce it, this innocent man innocent, because the Jews now are going to stir up some trouble. His own position now might be endangered. That if there is if there's an insurrection, if there's trouble in Jerusalem, Caesar will hear about it and may take steps, get rid of Pilate. He can't keep control in Judea.
所以他现在面临一个困境是，他知道他的内心也完全清楚，这是一个无辜的人。如果作为他真正对神负责的，作为一个当地的长官，他应该是释放，无罪释放。但他面对另外一个情形是，当地的犹太人已经开始骚动了，他要造反了。因为什么？他们特别想杀了耶稣。所以呢，他面对的选择就是，如果他拒绝这些犹太人，那这些犹太人所造成的骚动，很可能给他带来的麻烦就是，这个会传到那个凯撒那去。那凯撒很可能会采取措施，采取步骤去取代他，去把他这个对，他就丢官了。所以他面对的这个困境就是，他是要忠于公义呢，还是忠于他的权力？
So the judgment comes down to the fact that for Pilate, his own personal place.He wants to preserve his power. And so, and to do that, what does he sacrifice? Nothing for himself. Nothing for the Roman Empire. He sacrifices the life of an innocent man. He sacrifices the truth for his own greed and his own lust for power.
所以对于一个对比拉多这个审判官来说呢，那他要保持他的权利，他要留下他所有的。那他要牺牲什么？他不是牺牲自己，也不是牺牲其他这个罗马的这个统治，他要牺牲一个无辜人的生命，来保持他的权利。
So, Pilate then says this for the second time.
所以比拉多第三次跟他们说。
He's done nothing wrong to deserve death. Therefore, I'll punish him.He's making another concession now. To punish an innocent person that's been declared innocent was against Roman law. You don't punish someone who's been declared innocent.
所以比拉多第三次跟他们说呢，为什么呢？这人做了什么恶事呢？因为他不能够惩罚他，因为惩罚一个无罪的人呢，本身就是违反罗马法律。
He hoped that.If he punished Jesus, it would satisfy the Jews.
所以，他指望呢，他能够责罚了、责打了耶稣呢，就能够满足这个犹太人，这样呢，他就不会面临这个困境。
But the only thing that would satisfy them would be his death.
但是呢，他不知道，唯一能满足这犹太人的只有一个，就他得要耶稣死。
He has one more trick up his sleeve, though.
所以他还想，就是他想再玩弄一下这个伎俩，就两边都满足，反正帮你打他一下啊，然后你们也满意了，然后我也不用这个面对着困难。
Come back next week and you'll find out.
我们下周啊，我们再回来，我们就知道有更多。
Can I just say a couple of things before
we
wind up? I was reading in my Bible that.Six times they tried Jesus, the Jewish people, the religious people, and the Romans. You know, when people aren't satisfied with the answer that they want, I want this answer and I'm not getting that answer. They will try again and again and again to get the answer they want. Not necessarily the right answer, but the answer that they want.
所以我们看见整个审判耶稣的过程当中前后六次哈，那些祭司啊这个法利赛人啊他们反反复复的总是要审判呢其实他们只是想得着他们要的答案他们并不是想要得着那个真理的答案所以人就是这样的就是他已经有一个答案了他已经有一个要求了他就反反复复的过去他就是想要那个要求其实他并不是想要真理
And the politicians are driven by people, and it shows you the state of the heart of the people. What kind of people are living in those days or this day? Today, they passed laws here in Canada about marijuana. They have passed laws concerning same-sex marriages. If you go back 40 years, 50 years, if you would ask the government members at that time,Should we pass the law of same-sex marriage? They would say, oh, no, that's against God. You know? But today, the people want it. And the government will give it to them. They deserve what they get.
所以你会看见呢和当时的民众反复到比拉多面前去要求钉死耶稣是一样的。今天的政客们他们也是只是随着这个人民意哈人意在改变的你像今天的这个加拿大的政府要通过大麻的合法化通过同性恋的合法化那你可以想象40年前50年前如果你跑到这个政府那里去你说哎呀我们要通过一个大麻合法化同性恋的这个法案他们一定会这么回答你他说不这个不合上帝的心意他们事实上是完全是跟着人心的变化你可以看见人心是怎么样的它是跟着人心去走的它不是真的去响应神的意思
I'll tell you a little story which is kind of funny It's this man he was overweight and he had made a New Year's resolution that he's not going to go to Starbucks because he was having too many mochas and rich coffees and that, and gaining weight. And he said, well, I'm not going to, if I drive by there and I see one parking spot that's right in front of the door, lining up with the door, he says, unless I see one like that, I'm not going to go into that place, Starbucks, to buy a mocha.
Maybe I translate first. 我给大家讲一个有意思的故事，就是呢，有一个人呢，他特别胖。已经很超重了然后呢因为他常常喝很甜的饮料啊比如说星巴克的那些这个摩卡、啊、这个糖分特别高的这个饮料啊他下定决心我要戒所以他说呢除非呢我每次开到星巴克门口除非就正对着门的那个停车位是空的然后呢我除非这样我才停下否则我坚决不进去。
So, his desires, just like the desires of these people, got the better of them. They wanted that. They wanted it, okay? So one day he drove by there, and there wasn't a spot there, parking spot. He said, well, I'll just drive in, and I'll drive around. And he kept on driving around until there was a spot open. And he said, well, there's a spot open, okay? I'm going to park there, and I'm going to buy a mocha.
然后呢他真的很想啊，然后他下定了决心，然后呢他有一天他开过去啊，看见门口是有辆车的然后他就开出去又兜一圈再开回来再看一下门口还是有车又开出去兜了好几圈门口那辆车没了然后他就停下说我满足了自己的这个条件我现在停下我去买杯咖啡
So six times he was tried and he was found innocent They weren't satisfied with that They wanted him guilty So they kept on going until somebody pronounced him guilty, yet he wasn't guilty. The politicians only dance to the beat of the people, what they want, they will give them. He said, I find no fault in this man, he is innocent. And the people said, and he washed his hands in front of them, and said, I am clean of this, because he's an innocent man. I am clean, I don't want this. They said, let his blood be on us and on our children.
所以你会看见这当时的审判耶稣那些犹太人啊，他们是一次一次一次一次跑到这个那边法官审判官那去，每一次得到答案不满意的时候他再回去，不满意的时候又再回去，直到他们得到了他们想要的答案，以至于这个审判官比拉多他不洗手，他说他的血跟我没有关系啊。啊，你知道底下的人说什么呢？说他的血啊归到我们和我们的后代身上来，这就是下定了决心要喝摩卡的这个意思。
I guess we can close because Eric has to go.
Okay. 我们今天就到这儿，我们先做一个结束的祷告。亲爱的父，谢谢您赐给我们金子般的话语，也谢谢您让我们看见我们的罪行。主啊，我们不愿意成为当时那样的像祭司和法利赛人那样，我们反反复复的来到审判官的面前是要得着我们罪性的要求。父啊，求您洁净我们的心啊，更求您把救恩赐给我们每一位，就是我们信靠基督，信靠他的宝血的救赎啊，信靠我们在永恒里必要得着您那丰盛的产业。父啊，谢谢您把这一切的美好预备在我们还是罪人的时候就给我们预备了。父啊，感谢您，也求您祝福我们中午的饮食，也求您祝福我们在座的每一位和他们的亲人，奉主耶稣基督的圣名，阿门。